You know, I think about worship. This week it's been on my heart about worship and about what worship is. And I know I've preached a few messages about worship is more than a song, as one message that I preached some time ago. I remember these things. And, you know, when I think about our lives in general, I think most of us misunderstand the real meaning of worship. And the Bible describes what perfect worship is. Perfect worship occurs around the throne of God. When you read in the Scripture how, you know, in the midst of the throne where people are just praising and worshiping God, and holy, 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 Lord God Almighty rings out. It's a place where there is no pain. It's a place where there's no sadness. It's a place where no sun or moon is needed, because God is there to provide the light and the warmth. It's a place where chaos and all that disturbs is replaced by perfect peace. You know, we live in a world of chaos. Man, we see things going on that just upset us and hurt us in this world today. There's a sadness in this world today. But there's a place where there's no distinction made among people, no distinction made among nations or languages or denominations. It's a place where there is no, that everyone is equal before Almighty God. But we aren't around the throne of God, are we? Not here. We're here in this world where worship for us sometimes becomes problematic, I think. And oftentimes we believe that worship is about things that we believe we need to do to please God. Sometimes we think that worship is about us measuring up. And sometimes we think that worship is about coming to church on Sunday in our best clothes. Sometimes we get to thinking that worship is about singing the right songs, or singing in the right key or the right tune or the right genre, that brings God's favor to us. And in their proper, I will say this, though, in their proper context, each of those things that I talk about, they have their part in worship. They do. And they're important. They have their part in honoring God, which is most of all what we're trying to do. But worship is about much more than just those things. And I would say today's important questions are, what is true worship? And what does true worship look like? And how can we worship God in a real and authentic way? You think about that today. The first two verses in the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, says this. Once on a day of worship, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as the disciples walked along, they began to pick the heads of grain. The Pharisees asked him, "Look, why are your disciples doing something that is not permitted on the day of worship?" You know, it was a Sabbath day, and we look at the Sabbath as being our Sunday morning. Today is our Sabbath, right? We take today. The day of rest, and I hope that you rest. Jesus' disciples were engaged in activity that wasn't permitted by the religious rulers and regulations of that time, and they were picking grain because they were hungry. And now they were seen by the enforcers of the religious people of that time, the religious law keepers, I will say that. Among them were the Pharisees and scribes, of those who ruled in the temple, and they criticized Jesus because of what the disciples were doing. I think about some of the things that go through my mind sometimes when I see things happening on Sunday. Seriously. I have to check myself sometimes because I sometimes become a Pharisee. I'm just being honest. You know, I can remember a time here, and I've said this before, that Walmart was not open on Sunday here in Anna. In many other towns around, Cape Girardeau was one of them. Most of the stores were all closed on Sunday. You know, and when stores started to open up on Sunday, then people were like, oh, man, that was horrible. I mean, there was a lot of anxiety that happened when a lot of those things, you know. People started doing things on the Sabbath day. Don't take that the wrong way, okay? I'm going to hopefully bring this back around. You know, for those religious leaders, worship had become a series of do's and don'ts, is what I'm trying to say. I don't want to get off topic. The Sabbath was a day when certain activities were permitted and others weren't. And pleasing God had been reduced to just a formula of things. And I know sometimes we can fall into that as well. Well, if I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that, I'm good. And if I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do that, I'm good too. And as long as I do this, I check my list off every day, I'm good to go. God will be happy if we walk no more than 30 paces. You know that? But He'll be angry if we go 31. Honoring God had been reduced to rules and regulations. But really, when it comes down to it, that type of worship had been rejected by God through the centuries. You see, many years before the prophet Isaiah had told the prophet, he said this in Isaiah 29:13. He said, "The Lord says, these people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up of only of rules taught by men." You see, it's silly. It's silly thing. It's really a silly thing to imagine that we can make up the rules and requirements for God honoring worship, isn't it? In an article written in a book called Today in the Word, it's a magazine that they put out and online, and there was a story that involved a medieval poet by the name of Dante. You guys heard of Dante? Dante was deeply immersed in meditation during a church service. And because of this, he failed to kneel at the appropriate moment during the worship service. His enemies hurried to the bishop and demanded that Dante be punished for his sacrilege. And Dante defended himself by saying this, "If those who accused me had their eyes on and minds on God as I had, they too would have failed to notice events around them, and they most certainly would have not noticed that I was doing what I was doing." You see, when worship becomes about rules and laws that must be obeyed, it's easy to take our eyes off God, the one whom we are rendering worship to. The focus changes to what we are doing and how we are doing it and whether those around us are doing it well. And when they become Pharisees, that's when we become Pharisees and rulers of the law. We miss the boat and the point of worship when this happens, really. So what's the contrast in this type of worship? What is the contrast? I think it begins by understanding who God is and who we are in comparison to Him. We know that our God is almighty and all-knowing. We all believe that. Amen?
Amen.
He is the creator And through His Word, everything came to be. We believe that, right? He needs nothing from us. He needs nothing from us. Yet creation depends entirely upon Him. You hear me? He needs nothing from us, but let me tell you, we need everything from Him. Because without Him, there is no salvation. Without Him, there is no eternity in heaven. Worship is all about God and what God has done for us. Amen?
Amen.
So that's the key. Really, what Jesus responds, how He responds to the Pharisees, these religious leaders who criticized Him. He said this. Jesus said to them in Mark chapter 2, verse 25 and 27, He says, "Haven't you ever read what David did when he and his men were in need and were hungry? Haven't you ever heard that? Haven't you ever read how he went through to the house of God and when ate the bread? Haven't you ever heard about that? He had no right to eat that bread. He didn't have any right to eat those loaves. Only the priests have that right. And haven't you ever read how he also gave some of it to his men?" And then he added this. He said, "The day of worship was made for man," or for people, "not man for the day of worship," or not people for the day of worship. You see, the true worship of God begins in the heart. It's right here in the heart. It's the intent. And King David of Israel, and the one whom the Scriptures call man after God's own heart, he learned this the hard way. And he, as he strayed away from God, he had done some abominable things, and he was trying to cover it all up. But when God called him out on his hypocrisy, David writes these words in Psalms 51. He wrote, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." Worship is about recognizing our great need before God, that we need God more than anything. It's about approaching our Creator with a heart that is fully aware that our life depends wholly on God's grace and mercy. It's about coming in humility before the one that can restore and heal and forgive. I came to church early this morning, as I do often. And I walk around the church and I pray. It's a time where I can just pour myself out to God and say, "God, just take everything away from me and speak through me today. Let these words not be my words, but your words. And if it is to be my words, then don't let me speak at all." I pray that all of our hearts today are focused on one thing when we come to this church. Whether there's 50 people, 100 people, or 500 people, no matter where we are, two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there. That our hearts are focused on our Creator and Him alone. And it goes beyond that. It goes beyond this church. We come here today because we love each other and we love God. We come here to honor Him together. But we can do that too wherever we're at. Whether we're on vacation or whether we're sitting at a ball field somewhere, we can still honor God with everything that we have. And that's all God asks of us. That's all He asks of us. It's about approaching our Creator with a heart that is fully aware that our life depends on Him. It's all about coming in humility before the One that can restore and heal and forgive. And I listened to this story here in Luke chapter 18, 10 and 14. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank You that I am not like other men, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. And he would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What happened with these two men? Why was the one's worship and prayer acceptable to God and not the other? I think we all know that answer this morning. It was a matter of the heart. The Pharisee was all about what he was doing for God. And he was content and sure about his own abilities. And in fact, his words seemed to say that he didn't even really have much need for God anymore. He was able to do it all on his own. But the tax collector, he recognized his depravity, and he was a sinner, and he knew that he didn't deserve God's mercy. He recognized that he had nothing that he could offer to God at all. His heart was humble because he recognized his great need for God Almighty. Do you ever come broken before God? That's what he did, beating his breast. I tell you, that's the way most find salvation, is when they come broken and realizing that they have need for God. That's why Jesus said that the day of worship is made for man and not us for the day of worship. Only the day of worship we come to the place where forgiveness flows freely. We come to a place where our confessed brokenness and sinfulness is changed by the cross of Jesus Christ into righteousness before God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? We come to a place where the resurrected Savior offers us hope. We who are sinners, and we are served by Jesus. Think about that. Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. That gives us the opportunity to bask in the presence of God Almighty. Do you ever pray to the place where you felt the windows of heaven opened up? And you could just feel the presence of God Almighty. Basking in the glory of God. When we can come to God in humility, when we can come to Him, that's what true worship is. Place where we're filled, a place where we're sanctified with the glory of God so that we can honor Him and glorify Him with all of our lives. Every day, our walk, we glorify God. Whatever you do, isn't that what the Scripture says? Do it for the glory of God. Whatever you do. Franz Joseph Haydn. Has anybody ever heard of that guy? Composer. He was a renowned composer. He was present at the Vienna Music Hall, and they were presenting one of his creations. They were performing it, but he was an old man at this time. He couldn't hardly get around, and he was weak and unable to move around easy, so the great composer was confined to a wheelchair. And as the majestic work is what the story reads, is the majestic work he wrote moved along, the audience was caught up with a tremendous emotion. And when the passage, "And there was light," was reached, the chorus and the orchestra burst forth with such power that the crowd could no longer restrain its enthusiasm. The vast assembly rose in spontaneous applause, but Haydn struggled to stand and motioned for silence. And with his frail hand, he pointed towards heaven, and he said, "No, no, not from me, not from me, but from thence comes all. Having given glory and praise to the Creator, God Almighty, this doesn't come from me. All glory is given to God." I can imagine the thousands of people there in that hall glorifying God at that moment, looking to a Creator. That is true worship. Worship is about giving all glory to the Creator. And this is our true worship that we give Him. We give it all. We give all of our hearts. We give every part of our lives to Him. And I would ask you this morning, are you willing to do that? I know there's times where we're willing to give, but we're not willing to give all. That all is a big word, isn't it? We want to give a little. We want to give a portion. And that story about Ananias and Sapphira was just much like that. Everybody else was willing to give all they had. They just wanted to give a portion. So I pray today, are you willing to give all of your life to Christ? Every part of your being. Every hour that you live. Every breath that you take. Are you living for God? Are you honoring Him? Are you glorifying Him with all? And we as a church, what church is all about. Every day, every time, every month, every time we come through those doors over there, we should be focused on Him, honoring Him in everything that we do here. And that's my hope and will for all of us. I hope that for myself every day. I have to humble myself every day. And that's Paul's words always sing in my ears. I die daily. I die daily to self. I have to get up and give myself to God every day so that I can live for Him. Heavenly Father, we gather here today, Lord, to glorify You. This is our act of worship. We come through those doors, yes, to see each other, yes, to talk to each other, yes, to visit, Lord, but most of all, we come to glorify You. We come here to honor You, our Creator. We give You all the glory, Lord, for everything that through the week, every bit of our finances, Every bit of all that we have, our kids, we give them all to you. Lord, let us be a people of true worship. Not just with our lips. Not with just a portion of ourselves. But let us be a people that give it all to you. Because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve anything that we have, Lord. And it's only because of you we have what we have. Whether it be little or a lot. So Lord, let us humble our hearts to you today. And we leave here not empty, but full. Fill us today, Lord. And I praise you in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.